Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Hour number two, John Dickinson and Larry Krueger with you until 6 here as we get you up to Warriors Live. Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers tonight from Chase Center. Dubs game 4 of the 8-game homestand, and the Warriors looking to be 4-0. They have not had a winning streak of beyond 3 at any point this season. Back at 500, 18-18. Been talking a lot about just reflections of 2022, some of the great sports moments all over in the Bay Area and nationally, worldwide, really here. Also, just keeping everybody caught up on the latest as far as the 49ers and the Raiders in Vegas on Sunday. Debo Samuel not going to play in that one per Kyle Shanahan. Chancey plays in Week 18 when the 49ers host the Cardinals. Kerry Hyder and Ambry Thomas questionable. Niners also going to open the practice window for Elijah Mitchell. And Farhan Zaidi met with the media. Looks like a small group, potentially a conference call with the beat writers that cover the Giants on a regular basis. And among other things, Zaidi telling reporters, including Susan Slusser of the Chronicle, that they had some conversations with Scott Boras about Carlos Correa since the original Correa deal fell through. But Correa is, quote, focused elsewhere. The other just quick blurb from Susan off of what Farhan Zaidi had to say, and we knew this was obviously coming, that the organization and the situation with Correa, frustrating to everyone because they can't speak about it due to medical issues and the fact that he's still currently a free agent. All teams can review the medical records and all of that, but again, not a lot that he can say specifically about what they saw that bothered them and all of that.
You know, that's great, and I agree with that. There's nothing you can say. It's, you know, confidentiality. Mm-hmm. But the big question that had to be asked, and hopefully was why did you call a press conference? What answer does Farhan have for that? Why did you call a press conference for a player who wasn't signed to a contract? That put the cart before the horse. Without the press conference, Farhan, you have no issue. You just didn't get the player that you sought. But since you called the press conference, everybody kind of, you know, sees that you kind of bungled it, because you don't call a press conference until you have a guy's name on the dotted line. Or if you do, you take the chance of what happens to you, and it did, and now you look bad, and now you don't have anywhere to pivot. That's the real disappointing part. Is what do the Giants do now? because I saw something in, that said they were about, like, you know, Vegas estimates are like 76 wins with like a 13% chance of making the playoffs, and you're coming off a down year. The prospects aren't quite ready. It's like, you know, what do you do? Do you make a trade? Well, you got to have something that other people want to make a trade. So it's going to be really interesting. Who's at first? Who's in center? Who's at short? You know, who's in the rotation? You lost Carlos Rodon. You know, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. There's an awful lot. If they are done, man, it's going to be a long year. And if they're not done, then we'll just have to wait and see. But those are major holes. Is Belt coming back? Is he going to play first? Who's playing center field every day?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, it sounds like Yaz, right? And they're going to put Conforto on the corner with Haniger.
But what happened to the plan of, the you know, what he verbalized was, hey, we want to get younger and more athletic in the middle of the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't gotten younger or more athletic in the middle of the diamond.
It's actually the exact same. It's Crawford and Estrada. It's Joey Bart. And it would be, Yaz, some combination of Yaz and Slater, again, with Haniger. And sounds like Lamont Wade Jr. is going to be playing some first base with J.D. Davis. Kind of a platoon there where, you know, Wade plays against the righties and J.D. Davis was a lefty masher. So maybe he gets out there against the lefties.
I don't know about that either. I mean, didn't Wade hit 179 or something like that?
It was an injury plagued fall back to earth. Fall back to earth for Lamont Wade. Late night Lamont.
Look what they paid, too. I mean, they paid big dollars for Taylor Rogers. I don't know if that's worth it. Pretty big money for guys like Stripling and Manaea. They're not Carlos Rodon. So you've kind of taken a step back in the rotation, right? I mean, can we all agree that going from Rodon to Manaea and...
Oh, yeah. Manaea's a back-end rotation guy.
Yeah, and Stripling was a swingman.
Right.
So
it's a 4-5 and a 5-6,
right.
Basically.
And you gave away a 1, or you lost a 1 in Rodon. So are you better in the rotation? Like, maybe if Kyle Harrison steps up. So I don't know. We'll see. The Giants have more to do.
They definitely do, and the timing of everything with missing out on Judge and then focusing the attention on Correa and everything that went with that, it left them, when the Correa deal fell apart, really with nobody left in the top 15 free agents to try and attract. I think Conforto was an interesting pivot, but again, he's a lefty hitter as opposed to a righty hitter. It seemed like they were really looking to beef up as far as having right-handed hitting. I think that's part of why they obviously went and got Haniger. And then there's also something to, I think, just the fact that, you know, a couple of beat writers get their shot at Farhan today on December the 30th, late in the afternoon, when everybody's basically in holiday weekend mode.
I mean,
that's along the lines of calling a press conference before you have a player signed, to be honest.
I mean, that I don't think that's fooling anybody, but I mean, we'll see what they do. I hope they figure something out. Maybe the pivot point is you go to speed, because most of the power guys are gone. But you know, maybe you could make, you know, I saw a name like Jorge Mateo, who was an A's prospect. Maybe they could go get a guy like that. He stole 35 bags. Maybe you could add some speed. But they gotta add something, because they're right now, I would say, I can't even really confidently say they're third in the division after the Diamondbacks. You know, if you look at the Diamondbacks, I would say the Giants are probably between Arizona and Colorado, if you're objective on where they sit.
888-957-9570. Mike Sando going to join us, talk some NFL at 3:30. Festus Ezeli at 4:30. But let's get back to the phone. Sophomore in Pacifica gets us tipped off here in hour number 2 of 95.7 The Game. What's up, sophomore?
All right, thank you for the shout out before. And my reflection is about Kuminga. I didn't know if he would take off this year, because his teenage years were so choppy, you know, coming here from overseas. I think he played for a different high school team every year, which probably meant moving around. So I'm so glad to see him taken off. Just a comment and a question. The comment is, like, NBA players, don't be the first one to get in a serious fight with Kuminga. he kind of was a Clarkson wanted to fight him, and that's just stupid. Do not do that. Stay back. Let him have a little space. And the question is, what's a good comparable for him to look at his development? It's not anyone on the current Warriors, you know. Who can we... he'll go up and down. Of course, he's young and still rough around the edges, for sure. Who should we look at for his next 3-4 years of growth, and what's his ceiling like?
Yeah, he's a good one. He's a unique player. He really is. I know some have said on the extreme high end, oh, it reminds him of Kawhi, reminds him of Giannis. Yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, good luck with that one.
He's got a crazy spin move that almost seems unstoppable. He covers a ton of ground on his spin move. I don't know. I mean, he reminds me a little bit, I guess, of a Gerald Wallace. Remember Gerald Wallace, who's, you know, as far as 6'8".
Yeah. He was in the Kings' heyday. He was a late first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, really athletic. He can run for days. And but I think he's even better than Gerald Wallace, to be honest. I think Gerald Wallace didn't have the kind of potential that Jonathan does. Jonathan's 20. He's 20 years old. I mean, what is that? High school or college sophomore? So, I mean, you know, 2 years from now, I think we're going to have a much better idea of exactly what kind of upside he has. I'll tell you this, when I see the ball come off his hands on the 3-point shot, at times when it goes, it looks good. I mean, so maybe it just needs more reps. The shot always is the last thing to come, because as a pro, you get more reps. But I think he could be a lockdown defender. He kind of reminds me on the defensive end when he's playing so hard of Ron Harper.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the Harper, I mean, Pippen's an extreme because he's an all-time great, a legend, but there is, I think I can see a little bit of Pippen defensively as far as just the way that they've tried to use him. I shouldn't get ahead of my skis on saying the guy. I mean, Scottie Pippen's an all-time great defender. Couple on the text line here, Amari Stoudemire. No, I don't think Amari Stoudemire was more of a
big
man. More of a power 6'10". Post big man. I like
better
the Gerald,
offensive player too.
I like the Gerald Wallace comp. I think that's a pretty good one. And Wallace was I had to look it up. I thought he was an all-star a couple of times. He was an all-star once, 2009-10 with Charlotte. Sacramento had him and really couldn't play him a lot, and they lost him in the, of all things, the expansion draft back when
he played for a bunch of teams, right?
He did. Charlotte, he ended up in Portland. He was with the Nets at one point, and I think Boston as well.
Jerome Kersey? If you want to go a little old school on the Blazers,
He was more of a jump shooter from the perimeter, though. He did a lot of Nasty Kersey was his nickname, I think. So he did a lot of the dirty work. But he was, I think offensively, he could drive a little bit, but I always remember him. I don't think Steve Kerr wants him shooting jumpers out at the top of the key like Jerome Kersey did. But I think defensively, there's some similarities.
Yeah, I love Kuminga. I loved when they got him. I was hoping like crazy they would get him in the draft. Some mock drafts that year early in the process had him going number one. So for them to get him, what was he at four?
He was Kuminga was seven.
Yeah,
Kuminga was seven, and right. He
that's
was
a free fall.
He was considered to be top three, top five throughout the bulk of the pre-draft process and the lead up, and then things shifted around a little bit, and it was if he's going to fall to seven, I mean it made a lot of sense for the Warriors, even with him being a little bit more of a project, to be able to go with him. Maglo in San Bruno next year. What's up, Maglo?
Hey, Larry. It's Lago.
Oh, what's going on, Lago?
What's going on?
Go Cats. Class of 75.
There you go. Go Cats. Class 88.
There you go. The whole thing with Kuminga is they're wanting him to do things he's never had to do before. Give him some time. He's never had a guard anybody in the NBA before. Oh, he was probably just basically a good shooter.
Did you hear Kerr with JD and Allen yesterday at all?
No.
So he was talking about Kuminga, and he basically just said Jonathan's totally gets it now that his avenue to minutes comes on the defensive end. So he's totally bought in. And I just think that it's so fun to watch him on the defensive end, because you know it's no fun going against a guy like that. He's quicker than you, he's stronger than you, he's longer than you, and when he's really tenacious like that, it's like good luck. So I love what I've seen from Kuminga and Wiseman really in the last couple weeks.
Same. Just got to give him some time.
Yep.
Give him some time.
Yeah, no question.
All right. Happy New Year, Larry.
All right. Happy New Year. Thanks for the call. 888-957-9570. A couple people saying Jaylen Brown. I don't see the handle. Like, that's the one thing. Kuminga's got to work on his handle offensively for sure. Jay Rich was much more of a three-point shooter athletic, but much more of a three-point shooter. Kuminga offensively doesn't have the three-point shot consistently yet. Warriors obviously hoping he can get it, and his handle is not there. Like he's
a four right
now. He's a four, exactly. Right, he's now. Not a 3-4 at no. this point. He's more of a 4-5 or a true four, I think. But he does, I think, when he gets in trouble, and we'll hear that Kirk clip here in just a second that you alluded to from yesterday, when he gets in trouble is, I think you can see in his mind at times offensively, he thinks he's a three. Like, he thinks he can put it on the deck and go by somebody and score. And sometimes he's had some success, but the matchup's got to be right, and he's really got to be sure of the move that he's making because the handle isn't great. And any kind of ball pressure, he leaves that thing exposed, and it can easily get knocked away, or he just loses it on the gap. Or on the way up, and it can turn into a turnover. But here's what the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, had to say yesterday here on 95.7 The Game about Kuminga.
Number one, he's been really good defensively. We've challenged him with that, and he's worked hard at it. And then I think, honestly, what happened was he realized that's his ticket to playing time. Like all young players, he wants to score. He wants to become high scoring wing, and he's got that potential, but it's not what we need from him right now, and it's not something that we're really looking to for him to do, because we've got an established team, a championship team, and we know how we want to play. So if JK wants to get on the floor, it's got to be at the defensive end, and he's doing a really good job of recognizing that and following suit.
So there you go.
Yeah, and when you watch him and the level of intensity that he's bringing it on the defensive end,
that's the noticeable
difference.
It's clear
he got that message.
Yeah, that's the noticeable difference, because there's times where it's looked like he's just not bringing it. I think when he's gotten in trouble and had to be pulled from the rotation, like to me, it's been he's been in the rotation, out of the rotation, in the rotation, out of the rotation, really. 3, 4, 5 times up until the last couple of weeks. And every time he's gotten taken out, everybody kind of wonders, well, why is he not playing more? And it typically has been he's just not playing forcefully. He doesn't get the ball, and he was in many ways the opposite of the player he's been these last couple of weeks, where it's been, hey, go take that guy and lock him down.
He just can't have those games like he had in Philly where he plays 25 minutes and gets zero boards.
Yeah.
D people up, go to the glass. That would be my message. You know, interesting comps here on the text line. We got 415 says Antonio McDice, the former Alabama power forward who played in the league for years. What do you think of this one? Dominique.
No, Dominique.
Now, Dominique was a scorer.
He was a scorer, man.
But as far as 6'8", with that kind of athleticism, I mean, because what we're talking about athleticism-wise,
I think he's got even more length, Kuminga, than
Dominique.
I think Dominique was more of a... He was just, I mean...
Dominique was incredible.
Incredible, but he would...
He didn't have great handle coming into the league.
No, but he got it as his career went on. I just remember him, between the legs, hitting jumpers, driving on people. Like, he was just... He ended up being a real forceful player. That's
the human highlight film.
If he could be a player like that with the ball in his hands, I mean, look out.
415 says The Matrix. How about Sean Marion?
That's interesting. That's an interesting one.
Very strong player.
Yeah.
Marion had the strength of a front court player.
Yeah, sturdy, definitely. And I mean,
loved him at Vegas.
And Marion had that little floater, that little push. Floater. He'd ran the floor extremely well.
Yeah, with Phoenix.
For dunks. I mean, guys, whether it was Jason Kidd or Steve Nash later on, I mean, there'd be a lot of runouts where he'd be ahead of the pack and be able to dunk. So that's an interesting one, but I think it just tells, as we've run through a bunch of different names here, and there really is no perfect fit. I mean, I think it definitely shows you how unique Kuminga is, but how unique the talent is, and how just kind of tantalizing it is for the Warriors to want to have him be somebody you'd hang on to.
All right, some of these are not good. Kuminga's baby Olajuwon?
No.
Eric, I love you, brother. No.
No.
I'll give you one, and I know you saw this guy because you were up in SAC. Anthony Bonner. What do you think? I mean, Anthony Bonner, 6'8", athletic. Not as athletic as Kuminga.
He's better than Anthony. He's
better than Anthony Bonner.
He's Anthony Bonner.
Anthony Bonner's second-round pick.
But Anthony Bonner was he was a dump truck, man, with his backside. Like, he would put it into you and go up and dunk on you and throw you out of the way. And not a surprise that he wound up on some of those mid-90s Knicks teams. as a bench player. He fit right in there. Let's go to Rick in San Mateo next year with JD and Larry on a Friday. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Great macro view analysis of the 49ers quarterback situation. I love that. It sounds all positive to me, but the reason I called was in the last few games that I've watched Purdy play, you know, scouts see subtle things. And one of the things I've noticed is the quality of his throwing, the quality of the throw itself. He's hitting the guys across the center, across the line, down deep, and he's hitting them on the run. He's not, and I love Garoppolo, but oftentimes we've lost yardage as well as potential scores because Garoppolo's ball is behind, high. They can't have any, yardage after the catch. Purdy just seems to be smooth in the backfield. Even though he's only 6 foot or so, what he does is he positions himself around his line so he can see downfield. And he seems to have the, what I call it, Ernest Hemingway called it grace under pressure. He came in there on that first game, and I swear to God, I thought he played in the NFL for a long time. He was smooth. He read his receivers. He did the right things. The only glitch was that bump, interception the other day, which was a fluke interception. I think the guy's got great talent, and I think the scouts saw that. And my thought is, between Garoppolo and Purdy and Trey, I necessarily wouldn't give up Garoppolo. That's my thought. I mean, he did get us to the Super Bowl. He did get us to a final. He screwed up the foot action between Purdy and Garoppolo is the other thing I wanted to mention. It just seems like Purdy knows what he's doing, and as I say, his movement and his foot movement, that's what scouts see, I think. So my thought is, I've got total confidence in Purdy going forward. His throwing is excellent, and he seems to read his receivers in time and in the right proper, order that Shanahan wants him to read them. So anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on. And it's great to see smooth throws hitting guys, on the run.
Yeah, that's in stride. Pretty no, there's no question.
Thanks, Rick.
You make a bunch of good points. I mean, two things come to mind. One, it's not Garoppolo's choice, or it's not the Niners' choice.
Yeah. You're getting greedy if you want to keep Garoppolo. Well,
and I think the 49ers, they agree with the caller.
You'd love to do it.
But you can't. Yeah. You can't hoard quarterbacks. Yeah. My next question for the caller would be like, well, is your evaluation that Purdy's better than Jimmy? And if the answer is yes, and I think the Niners' answer is yes, then Jimmy's moving on. I mean, I don't think even Jimmy wanted to come back here unless he thought he had a good shot of getting on the field this year, with behind Trey Lance. So he's not coming back here next year if they're both here. Jimmy's moving on. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But he made a great point also on run after the catch. Run after the catch is partly about the player, right? But it's a lot about the quarterback's accuracy. If you throw, you get juice in the flat and you throw it at his shoelaces, he might still make that catch. But the linebacker is going to rally up, hit him right there, and he's going to get a 5-yard gain. If you can hit him in stride as he turns his shoulder upfield, that little dump off in the flat could be a 40-yard gain. So accuracy means so much to run after the catch.
Accuracy and timing. And the timing has been on as well with Purdy. Vince in San Jose, 888-957-9570. What's going on today, Vince?
Hey, happy Friday, gentlemen.
You too.
Thank you so much. I will tell you guys this. I'm going to turn 28 in January. I've been following the NBA for 20 years, and I can confidently say this. I think Kuminga is going to be the gem of that draft class. I think he's just going to be, he's going to turn out to just be an absolute steal for this Warriors team for a couple reasons. One, he's a true slasher. If a 20-year-old can get to the rim at an NBA level pretty much at will, that means something. That's significant. All the Kuminga haters can say, hey, I want to trade Kuminga for Seth Curry and another guy and this other age veteran. But you got to use logic, and you have to use perspective. Kuminga, he doesn't even have a ceiling. I mean, he can get to the rim at will. and he's learning how to pass the ball at a professional level. I want him to work on his offhand dribbling. I want him to work on his off-ball movement. But I just love Kuminga. I really do.
Thanks, Vince. Yeah,
appreciate it.
I mean, there's a lot to like. And I think, yeah, that the ball handling is a big part of it. I've harped on the ball handling. He does still have an ability to get downhill and get to the basket even without a great handle, which on some nights it doesn't always work out, but he can get to the free throw line. And the one thing offensively, though, that really has changed, you know, we've talked a lot about the defense. We played the Steve Kerr clip, but offensively he has been much more of a willing passer, whether it's been looking for Wiseman or whether it's just been getting the ball on the perimeter, where in the past he would look to face up and try to do something or try to take a three. And now he's getting it, and he's getting in a position where he can hand it off to somebody or pass it to somebody and cut and keep the Warriors moving at optimum. And often that winds up in the Warriors system as you're going to get it back in a much better position to score or do something with it than that first opportunity when you get it 24, 25 feet from the basket.
As far as the best player in that draft, I'll push back on that. I mean, I'll take Cade Cunningham. I'll take Evan Mobley. I'd probably take Scottie Barnes.
A lot of good ones.
They passed. You know, those are guys that went in front of Jonathan. Guys who went after Jonathan, Franz Wagner.
Really good player.
Would you rather have
Wagner?
He'd
help him right now. I mean, he'd be in the rotation right now.
I love Davion Mitchell, but he's 6 feet point guard. You know, I mean, that's Zaire Williams, who played at Stanford. Nice little player, for sure. Duarte, I really like, from the Pacers. So, I mean, you know, and then you're the guy that I think they missed on that in that draft, and I really think I loved him in the draft, is Trey Murphy III, who's a 6'9". You know, sharpshooter who can play the two guard spot, and he fell down to 17 in that draft. They could have used the Moody pick on Trey Murphy. I like Murphy more than Moody, but you know, I agree. That was it was a nice pick getting Kuminga at 7.
Yeah, they love Davion Mitchell, but obviously not at 7 with others on the board. They liked Franz Wagner, from what I understand. Zaire Williams, I think, is a nice player with Memphis as well. And they love Duarte. If Duarte had been around, the Pacers hadn't taken him right in front of Moody, I think Duarte would be a member of the Warriors.
You saw the video, right?
Yeah.
When Duarte went, Joe, you know, they had Joe he was like pissed. He was not happy at all. Makes me wonder too if
I think they had him pegged.
If Indiana came knocking on your door and said, "We'll give you Duarte for Moses Moody," would you do that trade now?
Yeah,
Moody's
sure.
5 years younger, but Duarte's probably ready to play right now a little bit more.
And he's been banged up too with injuries, which you have to keep in the fold there. But yeah, I probably would. All right, Mike Sando's going to join us next. We'll talk some NFL with him as we are sponsored by CalHope.org.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. this is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. John Dickinson and Larry Krueger. More phone calls coming up. Festus Ezeli an hour from now, but let's get to our first guest on the program today. It's a pleasure to be joined by Mike Sando, now of The Athletic, as he's covered the NFL for a long time as well. And we really appreciate you taking some time here on a Friday. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Let's just start with Derek Carr. And I know you wrote about the quarterback betrayal index, which I think is fascinating stuff, but explain to the listeners what that is and now how Derek Carr kind of fits into the equation with his benching and basic firing by the Raiders.
Yeah, basically since Derek Carr's been there, they've been pretty average on offense and they've been really, really bad on defense and special teams. So a quarterback, you know, who has a great defense and special teams on his side is going to look better and going to win more and going to have a different narrative about him. So for all of Carr's flaws, which he does have some, of the 92 quarterbacks who have started at least, I think, more than 20 games in the last 20 years or so, his defense and special team support has ranked 85th out of the 92. At the extreme other end would be like Mac Jones. You know, the Patriots have been really good on defense and special teams despite a couple of memorable plays lately going against them. So it really has skewed their ability to win with Derek Carr because he's just been at such a disadvantage. And if you look back at his time with the Raiders, I think the one year they were kind of middle of the pack or a little above average in that defense special teams realm, I think they went 12-4 with Jack Del Rio. So I think it's just something to keep in mind. It doesn't mean that Carr is totally absolved from, you know, where they're at, but certainly they haven't been good enough in that area again this year to win.
Mike, if the Eagles get one win here in the final 2 weeks, either against the Saints or Giants, the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC rolls through Philadelphia. Everybody in the NFL is so covert when it comes to these injuries. I get the sense that Jalen Hurts, based on the video that I saw of Travis Gibson of the Bears falling on his right shoulder, that they're probably not necessarily giving us the full rundown on Hurts. He, you know, they've been speculating that he could play, but I just something tells me he's hurt worse than he is. Do you have any intel around the league? Do you have any guess as to the severity of Hurts' injury and how likely it is that he could be out extended period of time?
I think they got to be careful. I think they do have to be careful. They're in a weird spot because, you know, with the season being longer, they're probably going to be okay to win. You know, I think they can beat the Saints, whether he plays or not. But the last thing I need is him taking another shot on the shoulder and then being affected for the postseason. So I know he's back at practice. I think I'll just kind of believe it when I see it when he's out there. Cause I think so much of his play and production has been as a runner also. And he's not a run and slide. He's a run and take some hits guy. So I think they got to be careful. It might be a little bit foolish to throw him out there and at least have the same sort of game plan that they've had unless he's really ready to go.
Mike, what do you think of the teams fighting for the final couple of spots in the NFC? And we can relate it to the 49ers. We don't know if they're going to be two or three in the top half. Minnesota controls that, but they're playing Green Bay, who's tied to the bottom half, and the Giants and Washington are involved. The Lions want a shot maybe at a winner-take-all against Green Bay next week. How do you see that bottom end shaken out in the NFC?
I kind of think Detroit or Seattle might grab the seventh spot. I think the Giants will get the sixth, and I think Carolina is probably going to win that division in the NFC South to get the four seed now. There's so much of this stuff is interconnected. I just sort of have a feeling, I could be wrong on this, that Minnesota may go into Green Bay and win. I don't think Green Bay is that great. And I'm not saying Minnesota is either, but just the idea that, like Aaron Rodgers was saying after the game against Miami, hey, we got them, you know, two dome teams coming in. They got to, they got to win the games, though, you know, and so I think that's obviously a huge pivot point game in this whole thing. And I've kind of been leaning towards Minnesota. Maybe it's a gut feel. Maybe I'm wrong. But if that falls that way, then it really could set up a situation where if Green Bay's not in the mix the last week, well, shoot, then Detroit maybe has an easier time beating them, you know, in the last one. And then we'll see. I think for the last spot, you know, Seattle Jet game is going to be really a 50-50. Could go either way. It's in Seattle. So I may lean towards the Seahawks, but shoot, they haven't been able to put anything together consistently either. I think that's the thing. There's just so many inconsistent teams there. It's a guessing game of who's going to win every week.
You know, the Chiefs trounced the Niners a few weeks back, and the Niners haven't lost since. And in four games since week 13, the 49ers are averaging over 31 points a game. They've broken that 30-point plateau in three of the four games. I mean, they got the number one defense, and they're scoring points offensively. Do you have a different feeling about the 49ers now that you see their offense with Brock Purdy than you did maybe earlier in the year with Lance or with Jimmy?
No, I think that they're just as capable with Purdy. You know, I would rather have Jimmy, you know, just because of the familiarity and he's proven and all of that. But I don't think there's been a huge drop-off in what they want to do. Now, they have played historically great defense, and a lot of those points on offense come from your defense, right? You're getting in shorter fields, or you're never playing from behind. You're always sort of in control. I don't think that Brock Purdy has attempted a pass while trailing in any of his starts. So, you know, that's partly because of him, but they have been amazing defensively, really starting with the Charger game, to where they've been dominant. If you just look at statistically, dominant, like standard deviations better than a normal defense. And the offense has been good, but not great, other than I would say maybe the Arizona game and maybe before that, the Ram game. But for the most part, the offense has been good. It's done its part with a really favorable situation because of the defense. So I like where they're at. I think the NFC is, you know, there's no team that is completely unflawed. I think Philly's been the best team, but I don't think the 49ers are afraid of them. I think they can beat them.
Mike Sando joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Is that the one thing that would give you pause about Purdy in a playoff scenario, is the fact that he may very well go through the entire regular season stint, whatever, the six games that he would play, without really dealing with much adversity?
A little bit. You know, I think it's going to come at some point, but I think all of the teams have to deal with that. There's not Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers could both make the playoffs, but I you don't get the feeling with how their teams are playing that, you know, they're going to be amazing in that realm either. So I think the NFC is one where you may not have to have that as much to get through. And we've seen the 49ers go through the playoffs without having a bunch of games where they trailed until they got maybe to the Super Bowl. So I like the way it sets up. Sure, if they're behind, it's going to be hard, but it's hard for all these guys. It's going to be hard for Jalen Hurts if they're behind too. So I don't think that makes the 49ers especially vulnerable, right? Other than we're just not really sure because we haven't seen it with Purdy, but he's looked pretty good for what they've asked him to do so far.
You know, late October, the Niners were, three and four at that point, and they had the Rams coming up. And John Lynch pulled the trigger on the Christian McCaffrey deal. And they went to L.A., and McCaffrey had one of the best games of his career, and the Niners won 31-14. And then they have not lost since. To me, I thought that was incredible GMing, if that's a word, by Lynch. And I think that because of the timing and because of the offseason he had, I would give Lynch the slight edge over Howie Roseman for Executive of the Year. How do you see the voting coming down on that award?
That's interesting. You know, I think it could come down to the perception of how much is Kyle Shanahan running the personnel there too, right? I think he's gets some credit for that. But I think that's a good point. I think, you know, making that type of a move at the middle of a season is a win in the sales for your team. You know, I think it sends a really strong message beyond what it does to help you on the field. That's a big boost, you know, to a team that's had you know, some reasons to get down this year with Jimmy getting hurt. You know, there's been some other players in it. Debo Samuel's been out. You know, there's been some things that could have set the team back. But when you do that, I think it really does give you a boost. So, yeah, I don't know if he's going to get it. Maybe by the end of the year, they're the team that's hottest, and it helps put him over the top. To me, it does just come down to how much you perceive Kyle Shanahan maybe to be involved in that too, whereas with Philly, I don't think people perceive Nick Sirianni to be as involved in that.
Mike, I really appreciate your view of quarterbacks and all the work and different breakdowns you do of a lot of the numbers at different points. I got to go back to Brock Purdy and just, you know, as it relates to Trey Lance, because we don't know the run that the Niners will go on, how this thing ends. But as far as you look at it, what is Purdy the starter next year? Is it a open competition? I mean, that's kind of the question du jour out here in the Bay. And what does Purdy have to do in the playoffs to solidify that? If it's, you know, a coin flip to, in your mind, to this point. Yeah.
I think if Purdy continues to play the way that he has and they win and have some success, you know, maybe advance in the playoffs, I don't know how you take him out of the equation and just hand it to someone who has a couple of starts, right? So it'll be delicate. I think these are, you know, the way that quarterback changes are handled now is different than it used to be. If you go back in the day, Bill Walsh would just freaking bench Joe Montana and say, Steve's playing this week, right? And tough. Now, Derek Carr gets benched, and he's not even with the team, right? So the way all of these things are handled now will make it interesting to me. Are they delicate about it? Are they vague about it? It was so weird last year with Jimmy Garoppolo being on a different field and separating it out. You know, that was, he handled it beautifully, but not everybody would have. So I don't know, but I think we have to see how this season finishes. If they go to the NFC Championship game with Brock Purdy or the Super Bowl, that's a totally different thing than if they fizzle down the stretch and lose one of these last two and go one and done, isn't it?
I would say absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's the key variable there. So I don't know how you take Purdy out of the mix if they really go deep in the playoffs.
Give me your answer to two of these things. Who's better in your mind between Buffalo and Kansas City? And is there a team outside of Philly that you believe could beat the 49ers in the NFC playoffs? Because I don't.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's probably the better team just all the way around. I have been reluctant to pick against Kansas City in the one big game type thing, but I probably would give the Bills just a slight edge. I know losing their Von Miller was a big deal. I'd just give them a slight edge, but I think it's real slight. I think those teams could beat each other. I don't really see a team the way they're playing now having a big advantage or any sort of an advantage against the 49ers in the NFC, because I think Dak Prescott, he's made enough mistakes. I think that the 49er defense could probably get to him and get a couple turnovers to help it go their way. But yeah, that's why I think it's such a great opportunity. This is a year. This is a year in the NFC where you have to take advantage. And I think, like, Buffalo missed that opportunity in the AFC last year. They were the best team. 13 yep. seconds, they blew it. They may not get back. Right? This is a great window here, even though they're down to their third quarterback in San Francisco. It's a great time. It's a great chance.
Mike, great stuff. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Mike Sando joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff, well thought out, always digging into the numbers and coming up with his own metrics and evaluations and comparisons. So I like to nerd out reading his stuff.
Oh, he's good. He's really, really good. He worked for ESPN for years and a great guy to talk to. And he's dialed in on the rest of the league, which is always nice. You know, I mean, Mike's got a good handle on not just, you know, the Niners, but, you know, we could have literally gone deep with him on any team in pro football. Yeah. And he's got, you know, content that he can bring to the table. I do, you know, I keep thinking about this Raider game. I'm thinking, what is the next step for the Raiders? The Carr era is over. It's clear that they're going to try to trade him in their little window right at the end of the year. I don't know what they're going to get for him, but there's a lot of speculation. I was looking at the quarterback odds on who's going to be the Raiders quarterback next year. Number one, top of the list,
Jimmy?
Tom Brady. Oh. Number two, top of the list, Jimmy Garoppolo. Wow. Who do you think? I mean, I can't picture Tom Brady going to play for the Raiders. I could see Jimmy playing for the Raiders.
Yeah, I could, although as we talked about a little bit earlier, I think there are going to be a lot of teams that, are going to come calling for Garoppolo. I mean, Washington wanted him this past year. If he had been healthy, he might be a Commander already.
Colts.
Yeah, the Colts are in that mix. I think Miami's in the mix. I think the Jets are in the mix. I think the Raiders certainly are in the mix. I mean, what did you make of just the way this thing has played out with Derek Carr? I mean, I think we can all look at his play this year and say, all right, it's time, and maybe it had been time, and this is the final straw, but for it to get to the point where even not quite being mathematically eliminated, I get it, they're done, but even not quite being mathematically eliminated, benching him, and then the reporting from Vic Tafer that it was Mark Davis's call and that basically Ziegler and Josh McDaniels were going to roll with Carr at least for one more week, but Mark Davis said deuces, he's done, and then him not even being around the team. Like I think it creates a weird dynamic for the Raiders coming into this game with the Niners.
Well, I mean, I don't love it, but if I don't love it if it was the player's call. If the player said, "Hey, I don't want to be here anymore," I mean, it doesn't make me feel better about the player. I mean, so Stidham can sit on the bench and watch you fail week after week, but you can't sit on the bench and watch him fail. I mean, to me, if you're going to be a leader in a room of men, it's like you better be a little bit more consistent. And then there's the Carr, the player on the field. I mean, I'm thinking of that interception they threw to Kyle Duggar in the Patriots game. It was just right to him. He's inside the 5-yard line. He's hurling it right to a DB breaking on the ball.
He had a bad year. He just had a really bad year.
Not only that, I mean, if you watch that in slow-mo, Duggar's clearly breaking on the football before the quarterback's anywhere close to releasing it. So I don't love Carr has done a bunch of things that make me. I liked him coming out of Fresno State.
Sure.
I really did. I thought he was a good prospect, but he's done some things the last few years that would make me just put an X through him, like, not interested. Now, I do know that he'll get a gig because I think there are a lot of people that will blame the Raiders and the dysfunction in that organization, all the upheaval and Gruden, and, you know, you name all the different things that have happened there during his tenure. But, man, when it's at the end of the game and you can take a chance down the field and you throw the ball into the turf, I mean, that is non-competitive. And I've seen him do that 3 times in the last 3 years. And if you do it once for me, that's done. You're done. I mean, make a play and keep trying to make a play.
Sure.
Throwing the ball into the turf. Also, I get the feeling when I watch Carr that he is just like he's about self-preservation. Like that factors in way before we, you know, he's not hell-bent to score. He's hell-bent to take care of himself. And so I've seen countless examples of it. I just think he gets rid of the ball. I don't think he holds it. I don't think he extends plays to let his receivers work open down the field. He's got the best receiver in all of pro football on his team, and that receiver's had kind of an underwhelming type statistical year. I blame Carr for that.
I think it also sets up a week for the Raiders, relating it back to this game where we're going to find out, I think, on Sunday if the rest of that Raider locker room liked or didn't like Derek Carr. Because I think if they liked Derek Carr and thought, hey, this is on the ownership or the coaching staff or whatever, this is a bleep show, maybe he deserved a little more respect on his way out the door than he's receiving here, I could see them coming out and it being like Denver and the Rams, where it's just, hey, night-night. Blowout city, 1-2-3 Cancun, you know, whatever you want to come up with. I could see that. Now, if maybe there are people in that locker room that are thinking, you know what, Derek, not a perfect player, weird personality, like you said, maybe putting himself in front of other things, then I could see them coming out and maybe showing a little bit of fight with Jarrett Stidham and maybe they're a little more competitive in the game. I think the Niners are still the best team clearly between the two and should win the game and probably should win the game and cover it even with the number at basically 9.5 to 10.5. But I just kind of wonder. I think it is going to tell a statement toward how the Raiders view Derek Carr in that locker room based on their competitive juice this week.
He's got 9 seasons in the NFL. He's got 6 of the 9 seasons he's had double digit interceptions. So that means three of the, you know, only a third of basically your years, you know, 30% of your seasons in the NFL, you have single-digit interceptions. So that's a lot of picks. There's a lot of negative plays there. As far as how the Raiders play, I hear what you're saying, but you also got to remember this. You know, NFL players, there's no guaranteed contracts. Everybody's the film circulates throughout the entire league. Even if you're at the end of your run with the Raiders, you're at the beginning of your run with another team. And I just think that guys play hard and they play for themselves and they play for their families and they're going hard because it's in their best interest to go hard. And it's not about, you know, Derek versus Jarrett. I am eager to see what Stidham looks like, though, JD, because he hasn't played a lot of football. The Niners have absolutely crushed immobile quarterbacks, and Jarrett Stidham is as immobile as they come. I mean, he is not.
Oh yeah,
you know, there's no mobility at all. He was a fourth round pick out of Auburn. He was with the Patriots. The Raiders traded for him. The Raider executives used to be in New England. He started four of their preseason games. He completed 63%. He appeared in three games out of the bullpen, so to speak. Was 8 of 13 for 72 yards in the 24-0 loss to the Saints. He's an immobile guy going up against the NFL's best defensive line. I expect there to be Nick Bosa sacks. Absolutely. Quite a few. Maybe Bosa gets a record. Maybe this is a 5-sack kind of a game for him.
Yeah, puts him north of 20 and yeah, maybe even right there at the record. 888-957-9570. Let's get a Philmo Mike in here before the top of the hour. What's going on, Philmo?
Oh man, y'all talking Niners. I'll go talk Warriors.
Whatever, bring it. Any direction you want to take it. It's a dealer's choice, as they say.
Okay, got you. So look, Kruger, I feel like Kuminga, I think he's a new age in 3-4 years, he's a new age natural three. Now I understand the four, but I think he's a new age natural three that could play the four. And my comp to him.
Yeah, who do you got?
He a mix of, hear me out, Terry Cummings, Anthony Mason.
Wow, you're going.
That's my comp to him.
Great players, by the way. Cummings was an awesome player.
Hey, he was underrated, huh? He was raw.
Terry Cummings was, he came here. He came here in the Sprewell trade. But, both those guys are thicker, wider guys. I mean, Terry Cummings was a tremendous player at DePaul. And a great player in the NBA. And then was actually still had some game when he came to the Warriors in the Sprewell trade. Mason, that's an interesting one. Mason was just Mason probably weighed about 250. Right, I mean, yeah. Anthony Mason. He's a big, thick guy.
Oh yeah, he was a monster. Yeah, talked about Anthony Bonner and
different caboose. Different body type than Kuminga. Kuminga's more willowy. Kuminga can get up and down the floor. Where Anthony Mason,
he was a post guy on offense, he had a sneaky good handle actually
he was a really good player.
Like he could get it out at the top a little bit, throw a little spin move on, kind of flip it up at the end. He'd miss it and go back and get him. He was nasty. I mean, he embodied everything about those.
They went to the finals with him.
Yeah, those Knicks teams with Patrick Ewing and him and John Starks.
79 games.
Oakley. Yeah, all those guys. Now those were some good teams. Derek Harper.
Yeah,
hand checking people. It's interesting. Terry Cummings was the leading scorer. Anytime his name comes up, he was the leading scorer at the first NBA game I ever went to as a kid. I was 8 years old in Sacramento. He had 28 points and he beat with the Bucks in 1989.
Young Terry Cummings.
Yeah.
Monster.
It was like 3 days after the Niners won the Super Bowl against the Bengals.
I'll never forget sitting there watching. That to me was the Warrior low point. Sprewell chokes out Carlissimo. And I can remember sitting there next to Tim Roy, you know, before one of these games, and I'm like, what happened? You know, what has happened here? Yeah. I'm looking at Chris Mills in an awful contract, and Terry Cummings at the end, and I mean, that
was that Mookie Blaylock there yet? Was
maybe Jason Caffey was their big free agent signing. Oh. I mean, those are some lean. To me, that was the leanest moment because Sprewell was still tied to that 55 win Warrior team in 93. This was a few years later. Weber had moved on. Billy Owens had moved on. Mm-hmm. Sprewell choked out the coach. Now, it was dark. It was dark days.
No, it was big time dark days and brighter days for the Warriors now and brighter days in 2022 for really everybody in the Bay Area. 2 hours down. We got 2 hours to go. Festus Ezeli's going to stop by at 4:30. So keep it locked here at 95.7 The Game for that. We'll come back. We'll reset some of the things we've been getting into today, talking a lot of Niners, a lot of Warriors, and just being a little reflective. Final show of 2022. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service bank. No compromises.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.